Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You haven't cheered in a while, you know?
Oh, man.
Which to be
this
our
looks
open.
So good.
Let's go.
Doesn't it?
It looks like tainted down apple juice.
Welcome into another edition of Road Tripping with RJ and Channing. And we are hours away from the start of the Eastern Conference Finals.
We're hours. What?
Less than 24 hours and game one starts tomorrow.
Does that count? What?
More than 24 hours.
Yeah, more than 24 hours.
Nuh-uh.
27 hours.
What time is it?
Four, five. I thought you were going to say hours away from the Western Conference Finals. I was like, yeah, that's about to start.
Oh, is that game on tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, let's start over.
No, we're keeping that.
No, we're going to keep it. Like, way to stay
you
connected.
You know what? I just figured that you guys would get locked in and be focused in hours. You don't turn your brain on and become mentally ready. You guys don't just flip a switch.
Yeah, no, don't flip a switch. No. We call it extra gears. There's the regular season gear. There is a preseason gear. There's a fourth quarter gear.
Oh, God.
Gear.
Regular season has a gear?
Yeah.
That's more like a
– It's like neutral.
It's neutral.
Like pushing my body when the car's in neutral.
Did you guys ever drive a stick shift?
No.
No.
Could you?
No. We're Americans.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Because we drive trucks.
99% of cars
big
sold
trucks
in America.
Let's talk about.
Well,
talk
I think
about.
That's more a sign of you're young.
No,
I drove a stick here in the U.S.
I drove a stick when I was a freshman in college, and I
tractors don't count
on a turn.
Tractors do not count.
He's
tickled. He is tickled because he knew he was thinking it. You were thinking it. I can see you out there with your overalls, like, Dad, can I finish this hay bale so I can go shoot that ball?
I was gonna ask you guys something. Oh, trucks. Who got the new truck?
We can't tell you, or else people will like bug the guy.
Okay, is it a big deal?
No, it's not
yes,
a big deal.
It is. It is a big
you
deal.
You guys put it on
no,
your
so,
snap.
Yeah,
so
Channing has the Shelby truck. So
back
in the day, I got the Raptor truck, which is really just it's the icon of trucks right now.
The
right.
Raptor truck.
Yeah, everybody has their own opinions, but the Raptor when it came out
was ridiculous.
Was the most awesome truck out there. Channing then copied me, and he got himself.
We bought our truck the same, literally the same day.
Who bought it first? It was not the same day,
Richard,
Channing.
I sent you a picture saying, Richard, look what I just bought.
And
you go, Channing, look what I got. And then we literally exchanged photos.
Is that true, Richard?
That is true. I end up painting
I will say. I will say this. This is what I will say about his story. We did not know the other one was getting the truck.
Yeah.
So he was like, look what I just bought, and I had just got mine. Right. So because I was moving team to team, that was I went from like Golden State to Utah to Dallas. So I wanted just like I got rid of every car I had. I only had like three cars or something. I know that sounds like a lot, but
you gave one to Bazemore.
Yeah, I gave one to Bazemore, filled it up with popcorn. But I just wanted a truck because I had my two Bulldogs and I wanted to be able to drive more and put them in the car and just go for drives. So Channing shows me the picture and I was like, Channing, I just got this truck a week ago. So for the sake of the story, I got mine first. Channing copied me.
Right.
He got a four-door. I had the two-door, so mine was faster. Then he upgraded his to the Hennessy Velociraptor, which is
disgusting.
It's disgusting. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's awesome.
You painted yours white?
Wrapped it. Got it wrapped.
Oh, okay.
Got it wrapped.
What was it?
Black. It was exactly the same truck.
Mine was two-door
Hennessy. And you did it because of him?
No. No. I didn't even know. I'm in Phoenix at the time, and I'm like, Dan Marley drove the first one I'd ever seen. And I was like, I need that truck. I end up going – I think I was still in Phoenix and was like, I need this truck.
And what kind of truck was it?
Ford Raptor.
So the new Raptors came out. They're not nearly as sexy as the original.
No,
they're like made plasticky. By aluminum, and the grill isn't as impressive. The new one, the Channing. So this summer, Channing was like, yo, I'm going to get this truck. He shows up with this Shelby Ford truck. Ugh. That is
– it's unbelievable. It's the nicest driving – basically, monster truck I've ever been.
It's a beautiful
Shelby
truck.
Makes trucks.
Yeah, they made a special
700 horsepower. Like
they made a special edition.
I drive this thing every day. It's one of the smoothest rides.
How many did they make? They made like 500.
They make 500 a year. Yeah. So every year, I think every year for the next 3 years, they make 500. So it's like you can only get them from specific dealerships. So I had to go to.
You have to get on a waiting list and stuff, or
yeah, if you want a specific color. So they were like, okay, what color do you want? I was like, I want black or gray or the silver on black. So they were like, okay, you can either get your car from Florida. There's one truck here. There's one truck there. And I went on the internet and was searching. And finally, the guy at Ganley Ford, was like, hey, we just got this black. And so I said, put it to the side. Just keep it in the practice facility. So I bought it the next day.
I tried to get into it. I did. I tried. I think I sent you a picture. So yeah. I came back here and I went to the practice facility and I saw his truck and I was like, God, I really want that truck. The truck is beautiful.
It's so, such a nice truck.
I tried to see if I could get into it and drive it before he could. See him, like the keys or something, but I couldn't get into it.
Holly, our team, like basically
everything
yeah, was driving. I gave her the keys and let her drive it. So it was like 100 miles. I was like, Holly, what happened to driving around the block? Yeah, where were you going? I don't care. It's at the end of the day, I'm gonna put a grip of miles on that car. It's unbelievable.
Allie, you got a new vehicle, didn't you?
Uh-oh, take the doors off it. You got the jitterbug, huh?
Yeah.
Do you know? Okay, what? Have you seen Zoolander?
Allie, what did you get?
No, Zookeeper.
My Lord.
No movie questions for Allie, please.
I have seen Zookeeper though, because I want to be a zookeeper one day. I got a Jeep Wrangler.
You
want
to clean up penguin poop?
You got a Jeep Wrangler. Okay. Ooh. What do you think?
Yeah. Can I just tell you that I had my first Jeep Wave moment yesterday?
So
she didn't know this, and this was new. And
I don't fit in those, so I don't know.
So you know how when people see each other in a Raptor, they wave? She had that moment. Look at her. She's like gushing over here.
I was at a stoplight yesterday, and I was just – whatever, at a stoplight. And all of a sudden, this guy turns in and he waves at me. And my first thought was like, you don't know me. Who are you?
Wow, you're so defensive.
Just because I was like, wait, who are you?
Weren't you at home?
Yesterday I was here.
Oh, okay.
I was like, you don't know me? That kind of thing. Like, how does this guy know me? And then like 2 seconds later after he passed me, because it was a very subtle like swagger kind of wave. Like two-finger wave.
Swagger wave?
Swag.
Swagger. Swaggy?
Swaggy, whatever. And after he passed me, I had like a legitimate moment where I screamed and I was like, oh my God, that was the Jeep Wave. I felt so cool. I did. And I actually, Mike Mancias had a Jeep as well when he was in Miami with Bron. And he showed me a picture of his Jeep. And then I was telling him about my Jeep Wave moment. And he was like, the effing Jeep Wave. I missed that.
Yeah.
Jane seems,
you seem a little quiet, a little bit confused.
No, I'm just like.
Well, because people, okay, so people that have.
No, I get it. I totally get it. I was just more like.
It's so cool. It's like when you're on your river or you're on the lake.
I'm on a river. There's no lakes.
Boaters, pontooners, they always what?
Oh, wave. The two-finger wave. Listen, I'm sitting on a dock fishing. I two-finger wave to everybody. Peace out, dog. Yeah. I see you, big Herb, over there on the pontoon. I see y'all finna come back, Liddy.
Yeah. Allie told me that. She Googled it and found out about the Jeep Wave.
Before I got a Jeep. I've wanted a Jeep for a long, or Jeep Wrangler for a long, long time.
Are you going to throw some nice big tires on it? Okay, you got it. The thing about a Jeep is the Dota tires on it. Get the lights.
It's not a CJ7. It's a Wrangler.
Yeah, that's sort of. It's the take the doors off joint.
Yeah, like I legitimately just did that.
Yeah, put the fat tires on it.
Put the bikini top.
I still want to be feminine.
put the pink seat covers on it.
Oh, dear God, no, I'm not.
Get
a pink
you
girl.
A little pink as, basketball.
As you're wearing pink shoes right now.
Yeah.
They're like magenta.
No, those are pink, flat out.
Our captain today of our flight told me he loved my shoes.
Oh. Put them in. Is that why we had such a rocky landing?
Oh, our landing was
That's
crazy.
Because you land on the water here. But yeah, I'm really excited about it. I thought that you were only – I learned something today, though. I thought you were only allowed to take your doors off, like if you're sand duning or if you're on the beach or something, right?
Yeah.
So I took them all off, and then I realized once I took them off, as I started driving, I was like, oh, my God, I don't have side mirrors because your side mirrors are on your doors. So I was like, oh, my God, you get pulled over for this. But Rod, one of the security guys, told me today that in the law, like the law book on the road, the only thing you have to have on a vehicle is a windshield.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
Did not know that.
Because no car I've ever driven does not have doors. I would recommend the rearview mirrors, though.
Yeah. I know. Well, you had your this. Yeah.
People in Phoenix do that all the time. Yeah. Just
you just
roll.
Feel so cool.
Oh, that's great.
I keep
the doors on the Bronco. The Bronco is a good time, but I got to keep the doors on. It's not for me. Not for me. But I'm glad you had your Jeep Wave moment.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
God, so close.
I don't know. Hopefully he's a listener of the podcast and just know that you really changed Allie's life.
Yeah.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have something for you guys. I have a question for you. A listener actually tweeted to us. They want you guys to explain the story behind or the reasoning behind the riddles that you guys post on your Snapchat.
Holly! So.
You both do it.
Channing just Channing copies anything that goes on my Snapchat. And Channing, roll your eyes, but I was the first one to do it, and then you started doing it.
Richard, you have hundreds of thousands of Snap listeners and Snapites. Snappy.
We're not talking about number of people here. We're talking about you stealing content. Okay.
Richard, back to I have to give the people what they ask for, and they're like.
But everyone that follows you follows me, so they might as well just.
I have a specific kind of like. You know, put it this way, like let's say you're the Jay-Z of the Snap. I'm more like the Atmosphere of Snap.
I don't even know who that is.
I know you don't. It's an underground rapper. He's pretty awesome.
Shout no, he's out not.
Atmosphere.
Yeah, he's you can't be that awesome.
Very underground.
No, he's not stay. That underground, but he's pretty underground.
He should stay underground.
No, he definitely should not. So, listeners, holler at your boy.
So as soon as we walk in. The elevator opens up. The first thing that we see straight in front of us is Holly's office. And so Holly handles everything for us. She's amazing. She makes sure that we have everything that we need. She's one of many people that cater to us, but we see her first. She also has to be really nice because she's the one that asks us to do appearances and team events and all this stuff. So right to the left of the board, she has the quote of the day, which is typically inspirational, and then she has the riddle of the day. And so it's something that when you walk into work, which we really are doing, you walk into work, it's just something that's kind of funny, goofy, and it just puts you in a different mood. But people do get mad when you don't give the answers to the riddles.
Do you guys know the answers to the riddles?
Yes.
Or how many do you have to Google?
I don't ever
Google.
Most of the time people on the Snap, like when I look – I get two different types. I get one Snap that people that are answering the riddle, and then I get the other Snap. They're like, yo, what are the questions? My one of my friends from back home was like, yo, you can't keep putting up these riddles without giving me the answer. Like, it's really starting to bother them. And so, no, but I don't want to put the answer. If you want to know, you got to figure it out. But I will say that's the most screenshotted thing that I ever put up. Every time I put it up, it gets screenshotted on Snap.
There was a Snap that came in today on our road tripping Snap, and it was cutouts of your head all over the Snap.
Whose head?
And then it was lyrics from one of the recent pods.
Was it a romantic song?
No, not lyric. Like you talking on the
podcast.
Oh,
God.
And they just had your floating head.
That's
it was
weird,
like,
right?
Yeah, it was weird.
It is a little weird. I the people who like me are very artistic and creative.
You and that artistic word.
I know,
lately.
I like to use it.
So it's been a long time. We should probably talk a little bit about what's about to happen. The series that's about to
start. I'm about to probably go back, take a nap, eat.
That's clever.
This game. Oh,
you have your I'm trying to be clever face on.
No, I have the I'm starving. Like I'm marving.
Unfortunately, our listeners complained quite a bit about the amount of eating that had been going on.
I'm fasting.
I'm fasting for the sake of
this is my
the
time
listeners.
To eat.
Channing is not eating meat before dinner right now.
Just on non-game days.
Okay, we can't.
You know, I can go days without eating meat. Like when you said that, I'm like, wait, you really eat that much meat?
I gave it up for protein. I gave it up for Lent one time.
Richard, you're not.
I'm not. It's a practice of
discipline.
Of discipline.
Yeah. Well, how old were you?
I think I told the story. I started this when I was in San Antonio and Pop. And again, it's not a religious
story.
I gave up starting. When I gave up starting, Pop told everybody to put on the list what you wanted to give up. So guys were like, I'll give up red meat. I'll give up candy. I'll give up wine. I'll give up this. And he had just taken me out of the starting lineup. And I was like, I'll give up starting. And I showed it to Tim. I was like, Tim, should I send this to him? And he was like, oh, you should 100% send that up there. See, Tim, as much as he was the guy that, like, he was the older brother that would dare you to do something, and then as soon as you do it, he would walk around the corner so nobody else saw that he was a part of it. He would want to, like, walk around the corner and then look to see, like, the reaction of your parents when you did something stupid. That's what Tim – he used to set me up all the time. All the time.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what Richard does to you?
Quit your crying. Quit your crying. Yeah.
Not to be controversial, but I do want to ask your guys' opinion because I watched the TNT broadcast last night and Shaq, Kenny, and Charles.
Yeah,
did you guys watch that?
Yeah,
I didn't.
About
I did.
Kawhi and Zaza?
Right.
Ooh.
What do you think? Shaq was not having it.
Shaq wasn't having it. I'll say this.
Shaq wasn't having what?
That he was a Zaza, player. Yeah.
That did he it did on it? That, this is what we will say. There. Channing, would you like to take this?
No.
Okay, well, this is what
no.
I will say.
No.
This is what I will say.
Why?
I'm not taking this. There's no good answer.
This is the answer, and this is from the basketball. We don't have to get into, is he a dirty player? Is it that? Mm-hmm. Is Draymond a dirty player? Is Olynyk a dirty player? There's a thing in sport and anything called doing too much, right? And you can contest a shot. You can flail your arms. You can flail your legs. But when you start to do just a little too much, right, and that's what happened with Draymond, right? Draymond, if you can flail your legs when someone fouls you, but when you flail your legs to the point where you're kicking people or you're hitting guys in the face, Kobe got suspended for hitting Manu Ginobili in the face. Like Manu blocked it and he flailed his arms. Kelly Olynyk grabbing people's arms and pulling people. Like when you start doing just a little too much, that's when you get to the realm of dirty. Do I think that he went underneath him with the idea, I'm going to try and sprain his ankle? No. But when you go underneath somebody, it will affect your shot. Because now instead of focusing in on your follow through, you start worrying, is somebody underneath me?
Yeah.
Like that's like mentally
human nature.
Mm-hmm. Like you start worrying about your space, but instead of focusing on what your actual thing is. And so was he trying to step on his ankle? No. But they know he sprained his ankle last series. They know he tweaked his ankle early. So if all of a sudden you go underneath the guy a little bit, right? Now the
like
guy,
Shaq said, there's a 50-50 chance.
Yeah. Well, I rolled my ankle on Shaq's foot before. Mind you, it was the size of a boat, so I didn't really have much space. But Bruce Bowen was accused of doing this so many times. Right, was accused of being a dirty player. He used to do it to Vince. He used to do it to players all the time. So for Pop to go in on Zaza is more of a frustration thing. But is he a dirty player? I wouldn't say that. Everybody, if you go and look at – I've played in 15 years. Channing has played X amount of years. 12 years. But I'm just saying, if you go back and look at all of our game plan, we're going to have 10 things where we elbowed somebody or we pushed somebody or we stuck our leg out. That's a part of the game.
I don't know about that, Richard.
How many times do you, as a big, practice closeouts?
Okay, what Kenny said, I think Kenny has a lot of good points, was arguably not one of the smartest things I've heard. Everybody closes, like, nobody, okay, think about how many, I'll say this, is what I'm going to say, now you got me talking. Think about how many times guys close out.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, in a game.
What is a hang on, let me stop you there.
Closeout.
What is a closeout in the NBA? Is it to run by? If
it
they're
depends
shooting?
On it depends on who it is.
How often
Kawhi
do you
Leonard,
do the shuffle the
you,
you
know, have
stutter
to,
step?
The stutter step to a jump straight up
yeah.
is a thing that you practice at the beginning of the year and is something that everybody does. Watch a basketball game.
Yeah. Right.
Right? Watch a game. It happens I would arguably say hundreds of times.
Yeah.
And the issue is not once do you ever see anybody break that plane
yeah.
between somebody jumping up And then there was a step. It's the extra step that seemed unnatural.
And that's what I think Popovich has the point, because he jumped up.
Yes.
Came down.
Yes.
And then took another step. With,
he like, didn't even jump. Now, mind you, what was he contesting? Okay, you
the
have
shot
your
was
hand
already up.
You have your hand up. And for Kenny, and I don't ever like call people or say anything, to say that Zaza doesn't work on that is almost ridiculous. He's been in the league for how long now? Yeah, a bit longer than me. And you're saying, who has he played for? Has he not played for
Milwaukee?
Scott Skiles? Oh, he played for Scott Skiles. Yep. So we basically do that drill every single day, and Richard played for Scott too.
It sucks.
Every day you do closeout drills where you shuffle your feet, shuffle, 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 shot, where you keep your hand up and it jumps straight up. There's no extra. There's no nothing.
And
there's
this
no
is
forward
and,
long.
And, no,
there's,
and,
no. There's none of that.
Zaza, no one's saying Zaza is a dirty player.
No, not at all. He's actually a nice guy.
You can have a dirty play and not be a dirty player, right? You can have a doing too much play and not be a person that guys are pissed off about. In that situation, Kawhi just tweaked his ankle, and I'm not saying that you need to respect Kawhi's space. I'm not saying that we're out here trying to win games. Right? If you want to get really, really close to him and make the shot really, really difficult, that's one thing. But ultimately, he was just a little too.
Let me ask you a question, just to put it in perspective. Does Popovich make the same statement if it's DeJounte Murray who turned his ankle?
I think he would probably be very demonstrative still, because he wants to protect his players and that's who he is as an individual. But I think understanding if you know,
it's like you got to protect your star players.
Yeah,
let's keep it real. If someone had done that,
and Steph had rolled his ankle, and Steph had been having ankle problems for a large portion of his career. Like you're gonna be mad if guys are always trying to go underneath them. Like you know, but that's part of it. But yes, part of the reason why he's so, because that situation can change the series. I'm talking about that's why he's so demonstrative. He's like, yo, we're up 25. You know, our MVP candidate goes down. A guy's doing a little too much, and now we lose that game. We had a chance to steal home court. Now he's probably not going to play in the next game. So now I'm just saying there's a good chance that we could go down 2-0. Then we get him back. We're starting off 2-0 with our guy banged up. Like, this is the conference finals. Like, against one of the best teams in the league, and we had an opportunity to
steal home
court.
It's just an unfortunate play.
The good news for them is they're off until Saturday.
That's why he's probably
tonight.
That's probably why he's not going to play. Because
give him as much time.
Still only one.
You want to give him a bunch of time.
Yeah, but the Spurs are good, man. The Spurs won without him in Houston, so it's not like.
One thing is to win, to beat Houston one game, and another thing is to beat the Warriors for a whole series.
All you need to do is win one game. Now it's 50-50.
No, but I'm saying to beat them for a whole series.
Right.
So Parker and Kawhi.
Take the time off. Get his leg right. Go out there with your squad, who has won how many games this year? 60 games.
Yeah, second best team in the
league. Yeah, exactly. And go out there and give it your best. But you need Kawhi at full strength to do what you need to do. In all actuality, you think, hey, take care. Let's say Golden State takes care of home court. You come back home like, okay, well, all they did was take care of home court.
They did what they were supposed to do.
They did what they were supposed to do. But, yeah, it's an unfortunate play, and there was a lot of, like, things that stacked up. Like, he had stepped on one of his teammates' ankles.
Was that the first play that happened in that game?
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah, where he took a shot, and then he stepped back twice to run, and he stepped on one of his teammates' ankles and twisted that way, which is weird.
Yeah.
Which doesn't really happen a whole lot, you know. And then that play with Zaza happened, and – you know, I mean, it's just one of those. It just doesn't happen a lot, and I think everyone's like always
everything,
like, let's protect
everything,
the players.
If this was happening in the third week of the season, there would have been a new news story already. But it's the conference finals. Everything is a little bit more important, so it makes things a little bit more intense.
So, are you guys ready to get going?
We're ready. We're ready to play.
I'm so tired of.
Oh, yeah, this is the longest layoff of my career.
Those 3 days, is that makes a huge difference from the 7 days to the 10 days?
Well, we'll see.
It won't make a difference. I think it's just boredom. That's all.
Yeah, we get very bored.
That's it. So,
were you enjoying yoga?
Me? I actually did. I think it was good for us. I think, to just mix it up And then I think, you know, our player development guys do a good job of letting guys play. You know, certain guys play 4-on-4, 5-on-5. Mm-hmm. You know, even I was getting out there playing, you know, 1-on-1, half court, just to get that, like, you got to get that mental FU back in you. You know, you're at home, you're relaxing, you're enjoying yourself. But something inside you is like, you know, we're not done yet. So, especially for me, I'm like, man, like, it's just, again, you got to learn how to hate somebody. And usually we have like 2 or 3 days to learn how to hate somebody, but it's like,
do you feel like you're ready for the crowd?
What crowd?
Boston.
Do they score points?
Yeah, that's a good point.
They don't score no points. And I've been cussed at, F you, boo.
The crowd.
I get hype on that. Like,
I just feel like they were very organic last night. Like, that's all you heard. I felt like I was watching a college basketball game.
Oh, they're awesome.
In terms
of the crowd
is
awesome for them.
I've heard their crowd chant wife beater at Jason Kidd. Like, I've heard their crowd say.
Did you hear what they were chanting at Kelly Oubre?
Yeah, who cares? Like, at what point in time? It's like, look, they can chant, F you, screw your mom, you suck, I hate you. Whatever. I'm just saying.
No,
like,
I know
people,
what you mean.
You, Channing, you've played in amazing college experiences.
Yeah.
Drunk college kids losing their shit all day, every day. And that's just a part of it. Like, people,
I enjoy it.
You enjoy it. It's funny.
Because when it's quiet.
You want to know what sucks? Going to an arena and there's no energy in it. Ugh. That's what sucks. The crowd makes it more fun.
Have we played in arguably, this will be the third loudest arenas or the three most excitable arenas in the Eastern Conference?
Who did we play in the first round? Oh, Indy.
Indiana was loud.
Yeah.
Toronto yeah. Great fans. And then Boston.
Yeah. Well, you're going to get, like, again, when you start getting
history.
When you start getting into the history and the Knicks, and it can be very, very excitable. But we don't care. It's fun. It sucks when you're losing and when the crowd is going crazy. That part is not great. But it doesn't – it has an impact, but it's a very, very small impact. It's not something that's going to change it. I've played here in the Eastern Conference Finals. I've been down 2-1 where they came back from down 26 to beat us.
That was a historic
comeback going down in the we were tied 1-1. We were up 26 points going into the fourth quarter. Paul Pierce and the rest of their crew hit a bunch of threes. They come back. They win the game. They're standing up on the table. They're yelling. They're screaming. The crowd is going nuts. It was like they won the championship. So now we're down 2-1. Everybody is writing us off because they won the season series against us in the regular season. Now we're down 2-1, and everyone's counting us out. They're Boston this, that. Next thing you know, we wheel off 3 straight, including beating them. And that's when, like I said, their crowd was chanting wife beater to Jason Kidd because he had just had that incident with his wife. And it was just like when you say the, you know, fuck Oubre, or when they're saying that about Kelly, I've heard them say far worse things. And players, it gives you that environment where it's us against the world, where you just come in together and you have to protect your teammates or you have to protect each other. And I think it builds that, not, I wouldn't say team unity, but it lets you know, it makes you guys that much tighter. So,
but in a way, even though you say they don't score points or anything, it does help to take them out of the game early.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they're going to be pumped. I mean, they're going to.
But
it just takes away, like, let's say you may get 10 energy points, right? The guy might run a little bit faster to get a loose ball.
Eventually.
But, like, when it comes down to it, if you're in the Eastern Conference Finals, you could play ball regardless. We have to limit their energy plays, right? And that comes from us doing what we need to do. Now, you may make an amazing three, but we know you can't live on that. You may make an amazing play, like where you shoot like a crossover, pull-up J. We're living with that. Because at the end of the day, these energy plays – aren't going to equal our execution and our ability to execute like what we need to do as a team. And that's why we've had success. It's like, listen, even when we're down 26, it's like, hey, let's get the right group of guys out there. This is what we're going to exploit, and then we're going to attack this until they stop it. And all of a sudden, everyone was feeling comfortable. It got a little bit tighter, got down to 15, got down to 10.
At their home.
At their place. Now the fans are like, what? No, wait, no. Oh, 6-2-4. Oh, now we're down 7.
And where Boston, is different than other places is they don't need their players to generate the energy to rev up the crowd. The crowd is going to be ready the crowd is going to be locked in. So
watching
they, they don't
because
need,
they've seen good basketball.
They've seen
before.
Good basketball, so they are intelligent. So when a guy misses a shot, oh, we got to make that shot. Not they're the crowd's not waiting for the players to give them a reason to cheer. The crowd is ready for looking for a reason to explode. Like that's the difference. So you're never going to get their crowd out of it. Like so if they're down and then they start making a comeback, their crowd will be like, okay, finally, we're starting to play ball. Like so their crowd's always going to be in whatever game, especially with the defending champs coming in, with their history with LeBron. This is the first time they've been in the conference finals in a long time. So their crowd is going to be into it. So it's going to be fun. And I still stand by the fact that, you know, college experiences are far greater because you're just a young kid and you're dealing with this
playing
stuff.
Playing in Kansas.
And you're playing in Kansas.
And there's a party at the
way. Playing in Oregon and Stanford where they're shaking the court and you got to like – you're in Oregon, the hoop used to shake. Yeah. So literally you would have to throw the ball back to the referee, be like, man, look at the hoop. And the ref is like this.
I swear to you.
He's like, all right, calm down.
So at Stanford, so we played against Stanford. They were number one in the country. And
that's a rival, right?
Everybody's a rival, quote unquote.
At the time they were because we were both number one seeds. They had Jason Collins, Casey Jacobson for you old basketball fans, Mark Madsen, Tim Young. They had a rich history for quite a few years.
For Utah.
But what they their floor, they used to have the bouncy floor. So our coach Lute Olson, Hall of Fame, said if it ever starts getting too loud, tell the referee that the basket is shaking. So I'm talking about with 2 minutes ago, 3 minutes ago. Their crowd is going nuts. And Jason Gardner, our American point guard, goes to the referee and is like, yo, the hoop is moving. So they tell the fans, all the student section, to stop. And they don't stop. So then they get on the thing and they say, if you do not stop, we will be awarded a technical. So they tell them that, and now they're furious. Like, their level of, like, just a frustration is so high. And for us, it's just, you know, we're a bunch of smartasses. You know, we're 19-year-old, 20-year-old kids. So the fact that we had their whole crowd just have to stop moving, it was amazing. And then one time we played at Oregon, and I think it was Gilbert, he's like, I'm looking at the basket and the Oregon Duck is sitting there kicking the basket before we shoot a free throw. You're like, you can't do that. And then finally the referee's like, Gilbert grabs the ball and he's pointing at the Duck. And the referee's like, tell the Duck, you can't do that. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's when you start getting to a place that's surreal. Like,
who's worse, the Duck or the three at Stanford?
Oh, the tree is trash.
Oh, the tree
is trash. Like, listen, for being such smart people, they had the stupidest mascot of all time. So
they are funny, though, because I remember a teammate of mine got in trouble for a bagel.
Oh, for stealing bagels? Yeah.
Hey, listen, they literally had a vending machine. We got in trouble for supposedly stealing candy, which we didn't, in Kansas. So we came back to Stanford, and they were throwing bagels and candy from a man-made, like, cardboard cut out of a vending machine. So a person's sitting in there doing this.
Oh, that's funny.
Throwing out bagels like crazy. It was hilarious.
The signs at college
places. Oh,
like,
signs?
I used to see, suck my Richard. You know, it was awesome.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Dude, Kansas was so loud that when you go out to shoot like your warm-ups, not even like your team warm-ups, like your individual warm-ups, I couldn't hear the coach what he was telling me. That's how loud it was in our arena. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Well, I just think that, and just to bring back Channing's point, when you have been through high level college experiences, like Channing hasn't been to the Final Four, but I'm saying, like, when you've had to play in places that were extremely hostile,
playing Illinois and DePaul, I think was pretty hostile.
Playing them, it's.
In DePaul.
Yeah.
Cameron Indoor is loud too.
Yeah. Is it? Screw that place. Just kidding.
Screw that place.
Kansas Arena, the fog is loud.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where I didn't really.
I heard Toledo was loud.
There again, I'm old, but.
Channing, we had like 8,000 people at a legitimate rival game of my senior year. It was the first time we'd ever beat Bowling Green in like 14 tries.
Wow.
Hey, and we played them my senior year and we finally beat them.
Did you cry?
Like, okay, wait a second.
8,000 people. Did
you at a cry? Girls basketball game?
Yes. They
stormed
the
That's
floor.
Crazy.
Our football team was there. It was nuts. It was on my birthday.
Did you cry?
I did not cry, but I will tell you
that
I was not in the game. I was on the bike. I was not in the game at the end, and my coach looked down at us because she had gone to the NCAA tournament. So she understood what the tournament was all about and everything. And she looks down at us and she goes she goes, "Act like you've done this before." That buzzer sounded and I was like, I ran out, and she has my picture, not my picture, a picture of me leading a charge from the girls on the bench with my hands in the air. She has it framed in her basement. She thinks it's like one of her favorite
moments
because I was like that, and everyone just stormed out. They had fat heads.
They had never
in the stands of all of
us. No offense. $8,000 for a Toledo women's basketball game is a grip.
Oh, we're top 25 in attendance every year.
Are you?
The women are.
How fun was it? Once you became like a sophomore or junior, like your incoming freshman, taking them to get them drunk for the first time. Because I didn't drink before I got to college.
I didn't either.
Yeah, Jason Gardner, I know we mentioned him earlier, coach at IUPUI. So Jason.
The worst influence ever.
And what's funny that he was the worst influence for you.
Wait, where is he from?
He's from Indiana. He went to Central something, I think.
I thought he went to
IUPUI, you said?
Anyway, he's the head coach at IUPUI.
We didn't go there.
No, he did not. He went to Arizona. He went to the University of Arizona.
Stay with me.
And so so we're sitting there, and we're in a dorm, actually with two girls on the basketball team. So we're just drinking in the dorm. I was a sophomore. He was a freshman. So I'm sitting there, and he's like, "Richard, I don't feel anything." And we keep drinking vodka. We're drinking vodka. We're screwdrivers.
Obviously.
Screwdrivers. So it's
I used to drink vodka Kool-Aid.
Yeah. So it's
because it was cheap, boy. Yeah. With the little cheap shot glasses.
Oh, it was easy.
Oh, I'm tearing this pop off of.
So we're drinking this. And he's like, "Richard, I don't feel anything." Like another 20 minutes later, he's like, "Richard, I don't feel anything." Drink another like 20 minutes. We're playing cards or something. I don't remember. We're playing Kings. And so they were like, he's like, "Richard, I don't feel anything." And he said it one more time. I was like, "All right, don't, you're fine. Would you look, man, just you're good. You're good." And then like 2 minutes later, he's like, "Richard." And I'm like, "What's up?" And he's like, "Why can't I feel my legs?"
"I still don't feel anything."
He's like, "Richard, why can't I feel my legs?" And I was like, "That means it's working." I had some real bad stories. I remember I got so drunk. And I found a bottle of Everclear.
Oh,
gasoline.
And I was just so stupid. I think I took it to the bathroom so nobody would stop me from drinking it. And I took like 2 or 3 shots in the bathroom myself when I was already drunk. And, you know, I hadn't eaten anything. And I'm like 19, like 200 pounds. I was sick for like 3 days. I think I hit on a football player's girlfriend or something like that. And I'm literally like whispering to like her, like, "Don't worry, they're fine. No, he doesn't care." And meanwhile, they were getting blown out by Penn State. It was.
Did they mix fraternities and athletes at Arizona?
Well, they didn't. But let me tell you this.
But they loved us.
They didn't. But we were the basketball team. No. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way.
The number
but
one
I mean
ranked
that
basketball.
In an arrogant way, because we were just chill.
Like, no, but they liked you, Luke. Jay Gardner, Gilbert was a
we were the social butterflies of the entire athletic department. So Coach Rubio at University of Arizona, he's the volleyball coach. So he would ask us if we were throwing parties or if we were going out because they had big time recruits. And he was like, "We have some really big time recruits. Can you take them out? Can you do that?"
Yeah.
And
so Kim Glass came to a party. Yeah. What's up, Kimmy?
Yeah.
Who?
Olympic silver medalist. Olympic
who?
Silver medalist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In
Kim
what?
Glass in
volleyball.
Oh. Stud. And so no, but it was. We used to go to all the fraternity parties, every single one of them.
I think Bree came on that same official visit, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Shout out to Bree Walton.
Yeah. She's whose age?
She's younger.
She's younger.
Maybe.
Older
years.
Than you.
No, she's a
lot younger. 2 years.
She was
Stephanie Wessel.
She was a freshman. She was a freshman. So our buddy's wife, right? He's probably gonna get mad, but it's kind of funny.
Justin Wessel. What's up, Weez?
One of our really, really good friends. He his wife Stephanie, her name was Stephanie Saragosa. She's from San Diego. Now Luke and his brothers were gods in San Diego.
Oh,
like they never lost
disgusting.
A game. They never lost a game in San Diego. It was four brothers. That, you know, their dad's Bill Walton. So they were just those guys. So Coach Rubio comes up to us. And is like, "Hey guys, I have a really big time recruit coming in. Can you take her out?" So he takes Rauch, very, very pretty girl. And she, I just remember overhearing her go, "Oh my God, I can't believe I'm here with Luke Walton." And so,
are you talking about Brit?
No, I'm talking about Steph.
Oh, Steph.
This was on Steph's recruiting visit.
Oh,
this
I was wasn't on her. There yet. Yeah, I no. Wasn't
so
there
this
yet.
Is on her recruiting visit.
I said
so,
that when I took the job with Fox and Luke was on our team.
Really?
I was like, "Oh my God, that's Luke Walton." So, I watched him when I was a kid. Okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's
but
not.
But I did have one of those girl. Luke
oh,
Walton.
Yeah. So everybody had Listen, one at Arizona.
Everybody. It made me disgusted
when the very first time we were on the bus after a game and he shared with me his bulldog on his phone. Yeah. I felt so connected.
That's Elwood's brother.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
No, that's Elwood's brother, Gus.
I just had a Luke Walton moment, though.
No, so Luke and
nobody
Luke,
ever does that.
Yeah. Everyone has
Maybe
Luke Walton.
Maybe on Snap. No.
So one of our teammates, Justin.
Dog over here.
4 years later, ends up marrying Stephanie. Yeah.
Yes.
So they're married with
so
three kids.
So he's heard
now.
The story?
Oh, yeah, he heard the story. Okay. It's hilarious. But there were some of our closest friends. But it's just funny how recruiting visits and who you had. Like Diana Taurasi came on a visit to
Arizona.
Yeah, she just got married.
Penny Taylor.
Yeah.
Is that her
Did
name?
They?
Penny Taylor?
Yeah. What's up, y'all? Hey,
right, Penny
up,
Taylor?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's her name. Yeah.
They got
okay,
married
first of all,
the night before the season started.
No lie. I have not told anybody this, but Diana Taurasi beat me in a shooting contest. With a man's basketball.
Well,
sorry.
I don't. It's called.
It was actually
it's called
great.
A men's basketball. And two, no one's surprised by that.
I was surprised by that because I was like,
"What was
shit,
the contest?"
It's like 100 shots.
Yeah.
All threes.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just shooting after like all of us were down there like playing pickup before the season. So she's there, and we're like, "All right, before practice, you got to get up like these 100 shots." So Steve does it. Steve gets like, yo, God, like 86, 87, whatever. I get 78, 80. So I'm thinking, I'm solid, dog. You know what I'm saying? So Diana's there, and I'm like, man, your J is weak, dog. She's like, you want me to shoot a man's ball or a girl's ball? I was like, whichever one you care. She goes, I'll shoot with yours. Yo, I have not seen anything so surgical in my life.
Really? She's like a four-time All-Star, five-time All-Star,
I understand.
MVP.
Listen,
like,
I, this
now.
Is a long time.
She's known
this,
as a
this
shooter.
My first year in Phoenix. So, like, I had met Diana a bunch of times, but it was more like, I really want to see how good this, like, how good you really are just shooting. Surgical.
How okay? many did she make?
89.
She beat Steve?
Yes, but Steve was like, you know, Steve is Steve, and he really was kind of like on chill mode. So, Steve, sorry to put you out there like that, but Diana Taurasi was barbecuing us in this one drill, and after that, I was like, holy crap.
Let me ask you a question. Excuse my ignorance. What's the difference between the men's ball
it's
and
smaller.
The women's
basketball? It's smaller.
It's smaller.
Really?
Yeah.
The men's ball is bigger.
Bigger and a little bit heavier.
I think a men's ball weighs a pound or something like that, right?
I don't know
the
exact weight.
Is that the only sport where they play with different size?
I don't know, but I will tell you. I will tell you this. It is noticeably different.
Really? I didn't
know. Noticeably. Like the minute you pick it up,
soccer is not –
No.
I'm sure in volleyball it's not the same ball.
Another girl that impressed me was
really?
Brittany Griner. I stayed and watched one practice.
Yeah. Mm.
They scrimmaged. She did a spin move, baseline, and boomed on two girls. I walked right out of practice. I said, Lord, she has longer arms than I do.
What is that? You're 7 feet tall.
She's not 7 feet. She has longer arms than I do.
Okay.
She's freaking good.
You're
Shout out Brittany Griner,
way to concede.
Phoenix Mercury. I'm not conceding, but she was booming on them girls in practice. It was ridiculous.
If you could get either of them on here.
I'm just going to tell you, you put any of them on the court with me, I'm going to give them that work.
I'm not playing them one-on-one. They throw too many elbows. I don't care what y'all say. If you really watch a game, they're not as athletic, but, yo, when it comes down to, like, moving space.
I had a substitute teacher, Mrs. Bell.
How many elbows do you throw
in elementary school?
And
she was the first girl basketball player that I ever – so she was, like – she was cute, but – and so the boys used to kind of flirt with her, and she was, like, on and off like a substitute teacher.
You used to flirt with your teacher? Mm-hmm. I think it's
illegal. Yes. No, it's not illegal. It's only illegal if you act on that.
Okay.
He was 18. He was a
no. This was in like junior high.
I'm joking. Really.
And so she was like our PE sub one day, and she's like, "Oh, you guys want to play basketball?" And we're like, "Yeah." And she came out and started giving us work at Desert Foothills. I'll never forget. I don't remember her first name because, you know, you don't really know your teacher's first name. But Mrs. Bell. She actually gave us a pretty
work. Did you guys ever used to, like, torture substitute teachers in class?
We used to torture teachers. Substitute teachers got it easy because they were like, we would sit back and like, this is too easy. Like, the real teachers are the ones we used to torture.
You know when, like, you have a substitute and you have one kid that'll say a noise and when the teacher looks at that kid, then the other kid does it?
Oh, the penis game.
What is that?
Penis.
And then when she looks at you, someone else does it.
Oh, nobody knows that game. Oh, nobody knows
that game. No one knows that. That's just you, Channing. You've seen the Key and Peele sketch where he's talking about calling out the names?
Aaron?
Aaron. You mean Aaron? Okay. If you guys are going to keep messing around, it's Aaron.
If somebody gives me some crazy name, I'm going to go postal. Balake? You mean Blake?
You mean Blake? He's like, Balake. What kind of name is that?
Blackie. Okay. What about D-Nice? Is there D-Nice
here?
You mean Denise?
You mean Denise?
No.
Oh, no. That is an amazing skit and most of their skits.
Key and Peele, shout out. Holla at your boy.
How
I love you.
One,
I love you guys.
That one skit.
Frillo, shout me out.
The sarcasm class.
Oh, yeah. So there's an old skit, and I am, if you guys listeners haven't noticed, I am a sarcastic smartass to the fullest. That's all.
He's a dick.
You're a dick. You know that?
No, your name literally is Dick.
I understand that, but I'm not a dick. I just named Dick. Okay?
If someone says jab the knife in deeper, how would you take that?
What do you mean? Jab the knife in deeper?
You had to hear the context.
I'm trying.
Channing told me that you two, because I live in Westlake and I really don't have anyone there because I obviously live alone and I have a lot of friends here.
So you read books upside down.
Yeah.
Channing told me that you guys aren't even my friends. You just use me. And I was like,
I said, we use her for ratings.
Yeah. Jeez, jab the knife. I said, geez, jab the knife in deeper.
Oh.
Oh, no. So, told you were the Fergie. Like,
yeah, you're the Fergie of the Black Eyed Peas, girl.
Are nothing without Fergie.
Listen, you got to come out with your own single before we. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I feel like Rafa is the one guy who dances but never has a verse. Yeah. Like the Asian cat. I forgot his name. I met him once.
I played the air guitar.
Yeah. The guy who's like really good at dancing.
Oh, yeah. Guitar.
I'm sorry. I interrupted you.
No, so go on. There's a sarcastic 101 class. It was like an old SNL skit with Matthew Perry during his Friends days. And I think it's making its round. These things always pop up on the internet, and they're always a little bit more funny. It's just like, could you be any stupider? Yeah. So I'm a big fan of anything sarcastic. Did you guys see, speaking of sarcasm, did you guys see the SNL skit with the dog that loved Trump?
No, you lost me.
Oh, it's a great skit. If you get a chance, there's a.
Tell me about it, Richard.
Okay, I'll tell you about it. So there's a dog, and they set the skit up where they're about to show that they have a device that can allow a dog to talk, right? And so they're asking the questions, and I think is it Scarlett Johansson?
I think it's Scarlett Johansson. What's up, girl?
So she's like, "Oh my God, we figured it out. The system's working. The dog is about to talk." And it's like, "Woof woof." And it's like, "Is that all your dog can say?" And it was like, "No, I can say lots of things." And it's like, "Oh my God, it's working. Yes, it's working. And Trump is my man." It's hilarious. And so then he just starts reeling off all the facts. It was like, what are you talking about? He was like, you know, your best friend is little Mikey, the Chihuahua. And he was like, well, if Trump gets his way, they're going to get rid of him. He's like, if Mikey was born here, he has nothing to worry about. And he just started reeling off like random Trump stuff. And so it's kind of funny.
I feel like you guys could do an SNL skit.
Channing and I?
Yeah.
I definitely could. I'm definitely a thespian.
You're humble enough to know that.
You could do the news.
No, I could. I literally took like news acting kit. Class. Like my mom was a big time actress, so like local big time actress. Like back before I was like any good at basketball, so like she made me go to all these stupid acting classes. I actually used to do a play at the Herberger Theater about Rosa Parks and the Underground Railroad and like the whole Civil War.
Really?
Parks and the Underground Railroad. I was saying there was a little bit of time gap between the two.
That whole movement, fool.
The whole civil rights movement?
Yes, the whole civil rights movement.
Oh, okay. Like the whole,
slavery.
I was like Rosa Parks.
It was
equal opportunity.
It was Harriet Tubman.
Trubman?
Yeah.
Or Tubman?
Tubman.
That's what I said.
No, you said Trubman?
Well, that might be the wine.
Truckman?
That might be the wine.
Okay, I have two things, and then we can wrap it up. One, do you think there's a chance, high probability, that Matthew McConaughey will be at Game 3? He was at the Indians game last night.
Was he?
Shut up, Maddie. What's up, Doug?
He's filming a movie.
Yeah, I saw his beard and his – oh, we didn't talk about it on this. We talked about it on Facebook Live. Oh,
yeah, he came to dinner. He came to dinner with us. Yeah.
You know that one of our Cavalier girls, Olivia, is shooting a movie.
Oh, really?
That's awesome.
But she was like the flight attendant in the private jet or whatever plane that he's in the movie with. So.
Okay. Well, you're right. His beard and his mullet is
– it's pretty awesome.
Hideous.
He is – exactly what you think he would be.
He's pretty cool.
Awesome.
He's pretty cool.
He's so deep.
When is he coming on road tripping?
I'm going to tell you this right now.
We tried to whisper it a couple of times. Like, hint, hint, I'm saying. No, so, fans, if you guys want to hear Matthew McConaughey on road tripping.
Does he even have social media?
I don't know. Somebody does. Find him.
I would not be surprised.
Would you send him a tweet saying, how many retweets for you to come on the show?
Yeah.
His perspective on things is unbelievable. The funniest, I don't know if you caught this, but we were upstairs eating. I think you had gone downstairs and a Lincoln commercial came on, right?
Yeah.
And I'm eating and I'm not even like looking at where he is. And I forgot that he was even in the room because he's just kind of like chilling with all of us. And I hear, get yourself a Lincoln. Get yourself a Lincoln. So I'm like, who the hell? Oh, shit, it's you, Maddie.
Yeah,
that's you. It was so, and I just see him slow turn, like such like the slow turn. Like you're such a good actor.
So that's the first time you met him.
Yeah.
Never met.
He walked through the door, and I was like,
did you start sweating?
No, I was like, I did fangirl for a second.
I didn't have a Luke Walton moment. No, I didn't.
No. I did fangirl for a second. I was like, hey, who's overrated? And he was like, no, we just do things differently. You know, the way he talks.
So you started going like,
but then he started saying then you asked who was underrated. And he jumped all over that. He gave a name of a few people that he thought was really.
I forgot.
Richard forgot, too.
No, Sam Rockwell was one of them.
That was one.
Yeah, that was one.
But, dude.
He only mentioned like two or three.
I got you.
Because then obviously Channing with his ad libs. He's like, what about Idris? What about Idris? Is he underrated? And it's just like Channing, like, can he finish his thought?
No, he cannot.
Didn't he laugh at your jokes like everyone laughs at your jokes?
I don't really remember. I was too nervous. but like then his perspective on how he like approaches every film and every scene was crazy.
Talked about how he kept his diary.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Well, he keeps a diary because the movie that he's filming today, he might not start doing press releases for a year. So it's like you get back and like, what was it like to work with this director or during this scene or what was it like working with this actor? So he keeps a diary of all the stuff that goes on.
Sometimes they're probably because they don't film it in order.
Yeah, and he'll go and do multiple movies before he goes back and starts doing the presser for another one.
Will you guys write a book when you're done?
No.
If I was writing a book, which I'm not.
It would be pictures.
Wink. This would be in it.
The podcast? It would be a whole chapter?
No. I did a couple pages, not a whole chapter.
Tough.
Yeah. The Cleveland whole experience, Snapchat, Little Kev, the championship.
The
that would
podcast?
Be
the Wouldn't podcast. Be a chapter?
No, I'm saying the whole Cleveland would be, you know, about six pages.
My life would be like an episode of Ballers.
Well, this is the thing.
But like real boring.
Every team.
Every
team is going to be a
back
chapter.
Home again.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to have a 19-chapter book.
Okay, finally. Did you guys see who is hosting the ESPYs?
Oh, yes. Peyton. Peyton Manning is low-key one of the coolest cats. Like,
that was one of your most exciting moments.
Funny dude, too.
Very funny.
His commercials are great.
Because he's, like...
Dry,
he's,
funny.
He is
super
funny.
Dry. Like, vermouth dry.
sweet vermouth with a twist.
Funny.
Wait, it's Eli, Peyton, and who?
Archie?
No, that's the dad.
No, Archie's the dad.
It's the guy that does all the commercials. A lot of them.
Herb. It's, we just call him the other one. It's Eli, Peyton, and then the other one.
I wanted to know if he was really real.
No, he's real.
Okay.
No, do you don't know his story?
He's supposed to be better than all of them.
No, so he had either a neck injury or something. And he was on, I forgot where he, maybe he went to Tennessee.
Tennessee State.
He went to Tennessee. Did he go to Tennessee State?
Yeah, that's where Eli went. Ole Miss. They both went to Ole Miss.
And so he had a neck injury, so he couldn't end up playing. And so that's the reason why.
Cooper Manning.
He's actually a player and had a Division I scholarship, and I think he just, because of his injury, he couldn't continue playing. I think their family's doing okay.
All right, well, before we wrap it up, should we let our listeners know from episode 25 who Keenan's girlfriend is?
No, they already – people already told me they looked it up on Google.
Oh, they did?
Yeah,
they know?
Yeah, they already know.
Oh, I just someone tweeted, said, you guys never told us who.
It's Lindsey Vonn.
Can we get Lindsey Vonn on the podcast?
Can we? Yeah, she's busy right now, but I think
– whatever, there's no snow anywhere.
No, she's doing like her tour. This is Olympic year. So good luck, LV.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Get it, girl. She is a great follow on Snap. She is a great follow on
Instagram.
Very
empowering for the young ladies.
Yes, she is.
Great example.
No pun intended.
Where would the pun be?
Because she's power. Like, she's very
strong. She's strong as shit.
Oh, first of all,
no,
she commands the room.
I'm very serious about that.
No, she shows
her commands the room. She punches me in my arm every time she sees me.
Yo, you see her workouts? Her workouts? Like, no, that shit makes me feel bad. She starts doing her core and abs, and you're like,
did you see that The Rock, she was the one athlete that he would like to go against?
In a gym?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's strong.
I think it was who he thinks could hang with her. What other athlete had a chance to hang with him?
Well, he ain't in the weight room. I'll be throwing him irons, dog.
But The Rock there's just so many needles involved in The Rock's workouts.
Oh.
Okay, wow. This is.
What? That's, just before you.
I loved him in Moana.
Cooper Manning was diagnosed of spinal stenosis.
Way to know your shit, Rich. Way to know your shit.
That is, what is it called? It's the thinning of the spine.
Damn.
So if he played football, he could be.
He went to Mississippi where his father was. Like his father's alma mater, and supposedly he was the better one of the three.
Damn.
You know what
and
I
then
heard?
He couldn't play anymore.
You know what I heard helps with that spine?
What?
What do you call it?
Stenosis. Spinal stenosis.
Jeez.
Narrowing of the spine.
Apple cider vinegar.
Of the nerves.
Apples?
No, my mom freaking loves apple cider vinegar.
That's
though.
So
nice.
I know what.
It's like the we got to give a shout out to them. The shout out to that. My mom loved that as her Mother's Day gift. What?
The
true massagers.
Massagers.
But we also wanted to let you guys know. Did you bring yours?
Yes.
We'll bring it.
We'll use it for the next episode.
The day after you put that on their Snap, and then we talked about it on the podcast, we were going to surprise you guys because True Medic reached out to Rafa and sent us one. So we were going to walk in with ours.
Oh.
But we left it.
So that's quite all exciting.
But we
Because I feel
dude, it's the best.
It's better than the roller.
I use it on my legs.
We just felt
the massager, like the
massager.
The
massager's amazing.
The Insta Shiatsu, by the way, is truemedic.com.
Raph and I just felt really cool because
we wanted to walk in with the thing.
$3.99. Listen.
No, but literally, it works.
Oh, it's so good.
It works not just for you, it's every, but the whole. It's a full body massager.
Yeah. Shout out to them.
Shout out to
them. Great Mother's Day gift.
Shout out.
Your mom loved it, right?
She loved it. My entire family has taken it from her. Uh-oh. My brother, my dad, yeah.
Oh, no, that thing's awesome. Yeah. That thing is going to get a lot of use.
That's how I woke up today. Drinking my coffee, watching Good Morning America.
How's Kelly?
And with that, we will reconnect in a couple of days.
Wait a minute. Did he start yet?
Yeah. Ryan Seacrest started.
Yeah. Okay. I will give one opinion about this. That I was watching today, and what I took from Kelly and Michael was every time they went on air, Michael was always dressed in a suit and a tie. Mm-hmm. And he always, you know, her and him, they just like went hand in hand because she could always dress up how she would, whatever. So now I've noticed that Ryan Seacrest just wears like his little khaki Docker pants, his jacket, and his just like striped tee. And then she's sitting there in like a skirt. And so I'm wondering if she's going
Hashtag fire Ryan, hire Richard.
No, because I love Ryan Seacrest. But I just wanted to know how that dynamic would end up meshing. If she may start going casual or if this is just how they're going to do it. I just feel like there's a different dynamic. When you look at him, he's very casually dressed.
Yeah.
And she's
it's big
still.
Time for that show. That's a big hire for that show, though.
Oh, heck yeah.
I still would like Richard Jeff, like Kelly and Richard better than.
So would I. Thank
I
you
would also that. Like Michael and Allie, but hey, we can't all have that. Yeah. Anyhow.
There we are.
I don't want none of that.
For this edition of Road Tripping with RJ and Jay.
Let me just disappear.
Until next time. Allie Clifton.
Peace out, boobs.